Right, now it's time to welcome my guest, Sabby Blythe, who is the Essex Fundraising Manager, and Claire Mitchell, the Essex Fundraising Coordinator for the Essex and Hearts Air Ambulance Trust. Now, when I last had the opportunity to talk to one of your members about 2 years ago, I recall being surprised to learn that, contrary to popular belief, you don't, in fact, receive any government funding, and that all your costs have to be found from charitable events. So, perhaps you could bring us up to date with exactly what your current monthly running costs are and how many helicopters you've got in the air. Who's going for that one?
Yeah, I'll take that one.
Okay. Hello, Sabby.
Thank you. So it is a huge, huge misconception that we are government funded. We actually don't receive any government funding or direct lottery funding.
Lottery?
Yeah, so we don't receive any funding whatsoever. We have two helicopters, both right. MD-902 Explorers. We have a yellow one, which is commonly known as the Essex Air Ambulance, and the red one, which is the Hearts Air Ambulance.
All right.
However, we are part of the same trust. The running costs are £480,000 every single month. So it's a huge, huge amount of money to
not
have
cheap,
come
then.
In. No, not at all. It definitely keeps us busy. However, due to the goodwill and generosity of people with Essex and Hertfordshire, we're able to reach this monthly figure and carry on saving lives and flying throughout Essex and Hertfordshire.
And your aim, of course, is to sort of get out there and solve problems when accidents occur and things like that, yes?
Yes, yeah, we do. We carry a doctor on board, which is what makes the air ambulance unique. So in having the doctor on board, it means that we can carry equipment and drugs that would normally only be available in an accident and emergency department. So theoretically, we take the hospital to the patient.
Right.
So we provide life-saving procedures at the roadside or in somebody's home. So we effectively stabilise before we actually airlift the patient.
And then you take the patient, what, to one of the main hospitals?
Yeah, so what we'll actually do, you've got two types of hospital. You've got your major centre of excellence and you've got your local general hospital. So what we'll do is we'll often bypass the local general hospital and take you direct to where that person's needed. So if they've got head trauma, maybe that we go to the neuro centre, which is in Romford, Queens, or if you've got major trauma, you go to the trauma centre, so in Royal London. So we will be taking you direct to where you need to go.
So they presumably they've got helipads at the hospital, so
some of them do, yeah. In London they do have one as an example. Other times when they're quite used to going to somewhere more often, they may know that okay, there's a golf site nearby or a school that lives locally, and then they convey them by land to the actual hospital itself.
Right, but so you radio ahead to get an ambulance there, yeah. But yeah, I think I'm right in saying that you've recently added some rapid response vehicles as well, is that right?
Yes, we have.
When was that?
That was last March time.
Yeah,
we have...
That's March last year.
Last year. We have a rapid response vehicle at each base.
Right.
So two helicopters, two rapid response vehicles. We use the rapid response vehicles if for some reason there was a problem with either of the helicopters or if visibility was very poor or poor weather conditions, for instance. However, it is the doctor and the paramedic that will attend in the rapid response vehicle, and the equipment that is on board the helicopter is on board the car. So the patient is treated in exactly the same way.
Now, the helicopters, of course, you say you've got one for Hertfordshire and one for Essex.
Yeah.
I mean, how long does it take you to get to? I know it's how long is a piece of string, because obviously there's distances. Yeah. But on average, how long would it take you to get to an incident?
Well, from the furthest point in Essex, from Elscombe, which is where our helicopter's based, so you're looking probably around about the Greys area, and that's about 16 minutes.
Oh, right.
By car, if I was going to be going to that area, I'd take probably an hour, depending on traffic. So you really are saving a lot of minutes there.
And what would happen if there were two incidents at the same time? We'd have to bring in the Hertfordshire one as well.
Absolutely.
And you
can
do that?
Yeah, not a problem at all. Although we've got Essex and Hertfordshire Air Ambulance, we by no means ever stop at the border. We are a trust. We will always work both together very closely, and we'll cover each other's patches, because in all, it's all one patch, really.
And how often would you say, on average, that the helicopters are deployed?
On average, 2 to 3 times per day.
That's a lot.
It is a lot. And we did have a day, I think, last summer, where it was over 7 times the helicopter went out in one day. Absolutely.
They'll often take enough drugs and medical equipment so that if they go out to one incident, they can actually get called out straight out to another one as long as they're finished.
I mean, that seems to me an enormous number of times. I mean, I expected you to sort of say, well, we might do one a day, but we wouldn't expect it. But you're having it all the time.
Yeah, absolutely.
And is this to actual accidents or is it taking supplies?
This is to accidents or incidents, so somebody that's been injured or somebody that is sick for other reasons, yes.
Right. Now, I'm assuming that the air crews are not unpaid volunteers. Is that right? How many people do you therefore employ?
We have 3 pilots, and they are leased as part of the package because the helicopter is leased to us.
So the pilots, obviously
handy to have a pilot if you have a helicopter.
So the
pilot comes leased with the helicopter, and we have 3 pilots. We have 8 critical care paramedics, and they are seconded from the ambulance service.
Mm-hmm.
And we have 4 pre-hospital care doctors, which we ourselves pay for.
Right. Now, in order to run all these people and all of these things, you quite clearly have to raise a lot of money, and you do a lot of different events, do you not? And what have you got lined up for the future?
Well, we've got one coming up soon, actually, afternoon tea. So towards the end of the month, we are asking people to, it's their chance to bake and donate, really. Get your friends round, have a nice night in with your girls, or have some crisps, and maybe ask them for a donation to go towards the Essex Airam. It's to keep us flying.
Right.
We've actually got a fundraiser where they're making some... what are they called? Like little
cupcakes?
Yeah. And if they're yellow, then they'll donate a certain amount of money towards the Essex Air Ambulance because of the yellow helicopter. So absolutely anything goes, and that's absolutely fine. So that's coming up on the 24th
of July.
So
how do you organise that? How do you get people involved in that?
If they can contact us via our website, and you can actually look for that afternoon tea initiative, and that will come directly through to our fundraising department, and we can contact you direct and send you out a fundraising pack, which includes a few goodies there as well.
All right, okay. And what else?
Various other fundraisers. We're always busy throughout the year. Another brilliant one, a very common one that people like to get involved with, is Go Yellow. That's the last full week in September, which is National Air Ambulance Week. So this year that falls from Monday the 21st of September through to Sunday the 27th.
Yeah.
Most air ambulances tend to do their own thing. Here in Essex and Hearts, we go yellow for Essex and Hearts go red because of the yellow and red helicopters. So basically, absolutely anything yellow goes. We have various schools that tend to have a non-uniform day, and the children donate a pound. We have people that are having yellow bake cake sales. We actually had a place last year who had a custard fight in their office. I'm not sure what I wanted to be the cleaners after that, but
quite, I think that went down like a lead balloon.
Exactly. But the more crazy the better, if we're completely honest. It's always fun. We had a paint fight, didn't we, as well?
Yes,
last
we
year
did, yes.
So it's absolutely brilliant.
Sabby has dressed as a bumblebee.
I have, yes. It's not much I won't do for the charity.
Well, so how do you actually get people involved in this? You know, you say you've got these events, but I'm just wondering how many people know this. How do you publicise it?
We do have various articles that go out, a lot of press releases. When I was saying about the more exciting and original idea, the better, that makes a brilliant press release. And the best way of getting other people involved is by hearing other people's story, because it can be as simple or as extravagant as you want to. We want to make it easy for you, but it has to be fun as well at the same time. So press releases or radio, such as yourselves.
Mail out to various companies.
Yeah.
Oh, and again, it's all listed on the website, so it's all in order on there. So
right.
And it's all very fun to read and to look at, and there are ideas on there as well. And as Sabby said, you can make it as simple as you want to, as extravagant as you want to, but we just want people to have lots of fun, basically.
Now, you're talking about slightly bigger events, because you've got the annual motorcycle run, do you not?
We do, yes, coming up.
When's
on
that?
6th of September, Sunday.
And that runs where?
From Ford Dunton Technical Centre over to Harwich Green.
Right.
And it ends up in a really nice family fun day as well. So it's one for all the family at the end. But it's such an amazing thing to see. I remember my first ever year being there. There was 5,000 bikers all in one place. And
incredible.
Whether you like motorcycles or not, it is definitely something to see, I definitely would say.
And you've also got some challenge, something to do with Cambodia. What on earth is that?
I know. And I personally was so excited about this one. We do every year a overseas trek. We tend to do a larger one and a small one alternate, so that we can obviously ask people to fundraise, and it's not always such a huge amount. On the 7th to the 15th of Cambodia, this is in November. We've got
November.
Yes, this November
in Cambodia.
Yes.
I've got 7th to the 15th of September.
November.
It's November. Right. Yep, information is wrong. Nothing new there, then.
To the 15th of November.
Right.
And there's 30-odd of us going out to Cambodia. We're going to be doing 50 miles over 5 days. So some people say 10 miles a day, that's not so bad, but it's actually the climate which is the challenge there. It is going to be absolutely amazing. It's such an amazing group of people that go. This is going to be my first trek that I've been on, so I'm going to definitely put through my paces. I've already started training. If you can talk, say, a few weeks worth of walking is training. It's going to be absolutely amazing. We've got about 50% of the trekkers who are previous trekkers that have been to various other ones. And then we've got about half that are brand new supporters. So it's an absolutely brilliant initiative or event where people can just meet. And they're lifelong friends, all of them, aren't they? They're just so lovely. So it's a brilliant, brilliant event. There's a minimum fundraising target.
Yes.
All information, again, is on the website. But by all means, give us a call.
So what is the case that people sponsor other people to go on this? All right, now what about plans for the future development of the service itself?
Okay, well, we're always looking as a trust to improve and build and grow. Some of the ones that we've got coming up, in 2017, we've got a helicopter and procurement. I can never say that word, sorry.
I know how you feel.
So that's coming up in 2017. It seems like a while off, but actually they've already got works on making sure that we're going to get the right helicopter. We need to make sure there's the right space, enough space for the equipment, for the patients, and exactly what we want. We've also got plans to hopefully cut the blood on board. So again, it's just always looking to what the best thing is for the patients and the people of Essex and Hertfordshire.
Great stuff. Well, look, Sabby and Claire, thank you very much indeed for taking the time out to visit us today. But before you go, I think you have to tell us how people can get involved to keep the Essex Air Ambulance and Hertfordshire Air Ambulance as well, saving lives.
Okay, there's various ways that you can assist us and raise money for us. One very, very simple one is to join our Flight for Life lottery. £1 a week, £2 for the super draw, and obviously that's something that you can pay by direct debit, so that's something that's quick, easy and simple, and that's fantastic for us. You can fundraise for us, so the initiatives we've talked about, Go Yellow, Afternoon Tea, or anything else you can think of as an individual or a business. You can become a volunteer. We rely heavily on our volunteers, and they are absolutely amazing. We could not raise the money we raise. We couldn't attend the events we attend if we didn't have our dedicated volunteers. And you know, myself and Sabby, you know, thank them so much for everything that they do for us. So, yes, that would be fantastic to come and help us in that way. Also, you can just make a simple donation online. And all of the information is on our website. So it's essexairambulance.uk.com.
Good stuff. All right. Well, you see, I'm at it now. It's catchy. We'll be putting all of this up on our website a little bit later on today. But thanks once again for coming in.